Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are not yet back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we continue to look forward to that day. It's coming, folks. But in the meantime, Renaissance is busy with second round PPP. They're doing another great job as they did last spring and summer. If you are in need of a more personal experience for your business needs with your bank, if you're tired of 1-800 numbers and computer-generated voices and phone trees and all the things that sometimes those organizations kind of force you into, well, check out Renaissance Bank. Go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office and give them a call. And you'll be able to talk to a live person that will invite you to come on in and make an appointment. I may not be able to get into Renaissance Bank branches, but you can, and they'll be happy to see you and take care of you personally. And I know this from my own experience with them. Seriously, they're great folks. So check them out. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Sean Taylor, and Sean is managing partner with Smith & Howard. Sean, welcome.
Morning, John. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you. So let's talk a little bit about, give people an overview that don't know Smith & Howard, and I don't think there are many people that don't, but for those that don't, give them a little overview of Smith & Howard and you. How are you serving folks out there?
Sure, Don. Yeah, Smith & Howard has been a mainstay in the metro Atlanta area for now going on 50 years. We were founded in 1971 as a CPA firm. Jim Howard and Joe Smith were veterans of national CPA practices and felt like they could form a local practice that was values focused and service driven. And that's exactly what they did. And over the past 50 years, we've grown into a firm today that's got about 135 employees, and we focus on audit, tax, accounting, advisory services. And we have a sister company, Smith & Howard Wealth Management, focuses on wealth management, financial planning services for mainly high net worth individuals and benefit plan investment management. We are serving our clients in a very proactive, strategic focused manner. Every client that we serve, we try to have a client experience with them that includes onboarding process to understand where they're trying to go, not just understand the engagements we're going to perform, but where they're trying to go, what their goals are, and help them advance on those goals and ultimately realize those goals, while along the way, helping them to feel like they have really every advantage in their arsenal as they look to undertake their personal and professional missions.
Sean, just a general question. You know, you were named managing partner about two years ago now. And you're a smart guy and I know you, but I can't imagine you thought these last 2 years, 2 years ago, you would be confronting what you have had to confront the last 2 years in terms of what's going on in the general environment out there. And I guess I wish you'd talk to business leaders generally about dealing with the unexpected, because that's certainly what you've had to do.
Yeah, John, you're right. When I was talking to our partners really about 3 years before I took the role on, we started having discussions about that transition. And in those discussions, we didn't really vet people's ability to manage and lead during pandemics and other situations like that. So I don't think anyone we had on staff, nor anyone we could have potentially hired from the outside, would have been able to promote, you know, historic experiences in doing that. All that being said, the pandemic, other, I guess, four distractions maybe from what you would expect to have been dealing with, really dealt with in a similar fashion. You sit down, you talk, you're transparent about concerns, you're transparent about the issues that business faces, and you make collaborative decisions amongst your leadership team about what to do. You communicate those decisions with everybody, and then you ultimately execute. And that's what we did. We really go back to our values in everything that we do. And I will say one other thing. We were really prepared for this, not so much from the sheer fact of it being a pandemic, but we were prepared for uncertainty. You know, Smith & Howard has always looked at the future as being very integral to what we do. And if you're not prepared strategically, financially, you're going to stumble. And we were prepared for that. We had herds in place. We had alternative plans in mind if things weren't ready to work. And we started down those paths. But I'm happy to say that in 2020, we were able to really lean into the challenges that were out there, you know, help our clients deal with some of the challenges they were facing, whether they were in the hospitality industry and just really getting battered by this thing, or whether they were in air filtration businesses and reaping huge benefits and big growth in their business from this pandemic. We were there to help both. The reason we could be there is we had planned for what happens in the event of uncertainty, and we were financially and strategically positioned to be able to do that. So my advice to other, you know, business leaders is to, you're not going to be able to predict everything that's going to happen. So be prepared for uncertainty and have a plan ready to activate in the event uncertainty shows itself.
Now, part of that preparation, I know that you see, is culture in your organization and having the right kind of culture, because if you have the right kind of culture, it can survive a lot of uncertainty. Talk a little bit more about that, dig into that, and how your culture helped you during a pandemic and during a suddenly remote workforce.
Yeah, culture is really everything. And the last thing we want to do is potentially damage our culture. You know, when I took over the responsibility in January of 2019, one of the first things we looked at doing was refreshing just what we have been doing for 48 years at that point. We definitely weren't broken. I didn't inherit an institution that was in any way struggling. In fact, we were thriving. So we really wanted to focus on how can we maybe just refresh what we're doing and make our communications a little bit better, our processes a little bit better. And in doing so, it actually led to the development of a 10-year vision that we ultimately started undertaking in January of 2020, just 3 months before the pandemic hit. We'll probably circle back to that later, I'm sure. But I say all that to lead into one of the pillars of that 10-year vision is culture. And we in no way want to impact negatively the culture that we've spent nearly 50 years developing. And we look and measure culture. You can actually measure it, and we do that with our people. We measure things like our agility, work-life balance, reward systems, other things that all feed into what your culture is. And in doing so, we get a pretty good idea of how our culture, you know, measures up versus some of our, you know, friendly competitors across the nation and really with the businesses that we help to serve. So one of the things about having that culture in place was when this happened, we were prepared. No one went into this pandemic, you know, in March and early April without fears and concerns, but that's really kind of the way we started by addressing. I prepared weekly video messages for everyone in the firm. And the first few messages were, hey, I know that you're scared. We're all a little bit scared. Let's talk if you're scared. If you have personal needs, does your family have needs? What can we do to make sure that you're taken care of? We were doing that with our people, making personal phone calls to every person in the firm. And follow-up was really critical. That really, I think, speaks to our culture. It's always focused on serving our clients and growing and developing our people. And that's really the mainstay of what we're going to focus on over the next 10 years and beyond.
So let's talk a little bit about that 10-year vision that you had. The culture was one of the pillars of that vision. And maybe dive into a little more what that looked like at that year ago, and then maybe how you're modifying that, retooling that as you look forward.
Well, you know, your vision ought to be what's out ahead of you. And we really spent time in 2019 looking at our developing our vision for the next 10 years. And through a lot of introspection, a lot of work on who we are, we spent time with all of our partners and all of our managers, 40 different people involved in that process. And we used proven systems that have worked for other large businesses in the past, specifically systems promoted by Jim Collins, Jerry Porras, Good to Great models. Harvard Business Review promoted processes for developing a vision. We came out with what we call Vision 2030. And Vision 2030 is a 10-year vision. I know that's a long period of time, but we liked it from the standpoint of setting pretty aggressive goals for ourselves. And ultimately, that vision was to exponentially grow in all that we do, to become a nationally recognized brand, to continue our history of strong performance, and to positively impact the next generation. That is essentially what we came up with. When you go underneath that, all these pillars that you talk about, culture, revenues, people, real estate, brand, et cetera, all really are the work that we have to do to achieve that vision. And so underneath it, we've got strategic plan in place and then ultimately goals that are set to help achieve ultimately that long-term vision. We set targets and other things accordingly. Now, the vision really came out of a reinforcement of what our values were and a reinforcement of what our people wanted to be like in 10 years. We asked our people questions like, if they were in an interview and someone was asking them about the firm, what would you be saying? What are some of the things you would be saying to describe what Smith & Howard looks like in 2030? Are we still a one location office, or were we multiple locations? Did we sell products in addition to provide services? Were we only focused on core audit and tax services, or have we grown and expanded, you know, our offerings to really be more diversely able to serve our clients? So in going through all of those questions, we really came up with that vision, came up with a roadmap that now in effect allows us each year to set major goals, you know, big rocks, if you will, and we stay focused on those big rocks as we move ahead. And it allows us to basically have that go down all the way to our first year staff and, you know, our paraprofessionals and our administrative support who can set their goals and have it aligned to the central theme for any particular year and ultimately vision that's before them. So we feel like with this alignment going all the way through the firm, that we have a great chance of ultimately achieving and perhaps even exceeding what that 10-year vision was set up to be.
Folks, we're here chatting with Sean Taylor. Sean is managing partner with Smith & Howard. So Sean, I mean, you're privately held organization and it's different for public companies, but talk about balancing the short versus the long-term there, because, you know, I've heard some folks say, I don't know how I can budget for 3 months given what's going on. Right. And talk about how you, not just manage your own firm, managing the short-term travails, if you will, versus the long-term vision, but also how you counsel clients on that.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting issue you bring up, and talking about the finite, right, defined term versus the infinite. And just coincidentally enough, Simon Sinek's new book, The Infinite Game, is one that I would recommend everybody take a look at because he talks about this issue very specifically. He talks to, you know, measuring yourself in terms of 6 months or 12 months or you know, 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, when really the goal in business is to be infinite, right? That, you know, no one really wins or loses in business. You're just ahead or behind, right? If you look at a number of stories out there about businesses, some have been the perceived best in class and aren't even in business anymore. And others were perceived to maybe be a model that wouldn't work in their today's Netflix, for example. So it's an interesting story. You have to have goals to help guide your team member. You have to have things that you set in motion and ways of measuring success or failure on those goals. That in itself doesn't necessarily define whether you are positively making your way in the direction of the 10-year goal that you've stated before you or not making it. So it requires conversation. It requires reanalysis. It requires revisiting those things that you set in place. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's an and. I don't think you can only focus on 3 year or 3 month or 6 month targets or only focus on 10 year. You know, 10 years is just too hard for someone to feel like they're advancing on or feel like they can get their arms around. You have to break it down into smaller pieces, especially from a time perspective. And that's what we've done. We try to set 3 year strategic plans. And then underneath that 3 year strategic plan are 1 year and then quarterly intervals under that that people can follow. And it's just a way for them to manage this a little bit better. So both are important. And we really revisit each during the year, because to only focus on one or the other, I think, is a bit limiting in part as far as what you can achieve.
So let's talk specifically about 2021 and what that looks like for your firm. What are some of the initiatives you have for this year that you're particularly excited about?
So one of the things that we talked very specifically about doing to kick off our 10-year vision was to look at our infrastructure. And we did that in 2020. We looked very carefully at how we were set up. We made some investments in our HR systems and in our time and billing systems. And really spent a lot of time making sure that we were foundationally ready for a lot of the growth that we really want to really focus in on over the next few years. So as we turn the calendar into 2021, one of the things that we're looking at is sort of the analogy of a runner in the starting blocks. 2020 was the get ready, unveil the vision, really look at your infrastructure, you have the right equipment on, the right shoes on, everything ready to go. 2021 is that year to get set, get down in the blocks, really get focused, make sure your engine is ready to just kick it into play. We're going to go off 2022, 2023 and beyond. You'll be going. You'll be running that race to win. So what do we mean in 2021 if we're getting set? So there's a few things that are in motion. Number one, we're in the current process of a rebrand. We are rebranding our image, our logo, our websites, look and feel. So that's a major component of what we're doing in 2021. We're implementing some new systems within a couple of our departments to help with being able to take that audit process, that tax process, advisory, wealth management process, and really multiply its effect across perhaps other states in the future, other business partners in the future. So those are the types of goals that we've set for ourselves this year as we prepare to be able to do some of those things that go beyond 2021. And we have four core values: clients, people, excellence, and integrity, and taglines associated with each of them that are more action verbs. For example, you know, clients may be our value, but the actual tagline with it is the action. Passionate service drives our growth. So in 21, our focus value is excellence. It's about taking the things that we're doing today that we're good at, becoming great at those, taking the things that we're great at and becoming world class at those, or maybe excellent at those, just moving the needle up in everything that we're doing so that when 2022 hits and we're running really at a faster pace and doing certain things to grow our business, none of these things will prevent us or detract us or really make for an inefficient process because we've got a bad system or we've got people who aren't technically prepared to do some of the things that we're going to do. So it's really about getting ready for the future and moving everything, you know, to an excellence stage. So that's our theme for the value in the current year. And everyone's goals this year are now focused departmentally, industry niche wise, and then individually are focused with the theme of excellence. So when they look at their goal, can they tie back to, I'm growing into excellence, I'm moving towards excellence. And it can be incremental, it can be organic, or it can be externally using other help, acquiring certain help, doing those things, but it's movement towards excellence. And you can have a goal that aligns with that if you're a first-year person, someone that's been here 5 years, or someone like me that's been here close to 30 years. You can move more towards excellence. And what we're asking people to do is each day answer the question, what did I do today, and did it further the brand of Smith & Howard, or did it tarnish the brand of Smith & Howard? And if at the end of each day you can say you did something to further the brand, then you're moving towards excellence.
That is not typical accounting speak, okay? I mean, right? I mean, I'm talking about the industry in general. There's not a lot of talk about branding per se among a lot of, leaders of their own firms and leaders of larger firms. So I'm interested in how you put that. Dig into that a little more.
So, John, I think that we are a little behind the times with our look. We're a little behind the times with how we portray ourselves versus what we're actually doing. If you look at our logo right now, I think it's dated. I think things like the font and some other things suggests the things that were used in the past, not things that are used today. And I know what we're doing today is cutting edge. It's really resourceful for our clients. It's the best type of development for our people. It's access to the best resources. So why does our logo portray 1980s green eye shade CPA firm when what we're doing today is so much more than that? So we felt like that was well overdue, in fact. And so really, we're playing a little bit of catch up with our brand. We want to be honest and transparent with everyone. Our look and feel just doesn't speak to what we actually do. And what's interesting is you really recognize this when you talk to some of the younger people in our firm, people who've been here 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. The responses that they give basically point to that. So we're having unintended consequences of looking maybe a little less resourceful, a little less current. And we don't want to do that. So we're correcting, I think, something that needs, you know, to be corrected. But beyond that is that we're creating an entire playbook, if you will, for how we're going to use our brand, how we're going to use our messaging, how we're going to take that common language amongst all of our people and go to market. So what is our brand positioning statement? We all need to understand that. And then we need to take that and go to market with it. Help people really understand who we are, what we're about, what our unique service offering is, and how we can help them ultimately achieve, you know, their mission and advance their goals. Branding really is a whole lot more than just color, the look, the feel. We got to fix that. But then how we use it is really more important. And that's what we're developing here is a playbook that all of our people can understand and use. And they're giving presentations at state societies or when they're in front of, you know, prospects giving a proposal or when they meet somebody, the elevator speech for the first time and they're, you know, handing out business cards. You know, what is it that you're saying? What is it you're portraying and how you do that? So it's a pretty robust process and we're really excited about it. We started a little bit of it in late 2020, but the yeoman's amount of work is taking place right now.
Folks, we're here chatting with Sean Taylor. Sean is a managing partner, the managing partner at Smith & Howard. You mentioned young people, and that really raises the question of, I mean, the industry is, as a whole, is struggling with, there's just not as many accountants or wannabe accountants that are coming out of schools these days. And so recruiting is harder. And what I think I heard in what you were talking about there with branding is also employer branding. I think I heard a little bit of that echo in your comments there. Dive into that.
You're absolutely right. You know, I heard a presenter one time, was at a conference in Indianapolis, he talked about the talent pool. We've always talked about the talent pool for years. And you know, he made this point, and I think it speaks directly to what we deal with in the accounting profession, specifically in the Southeast and then really in Metro Atlanta. There isn't a talent pool. There isn't even really a talent puddle. We're all prospectively drilling for talent. Like, we go to a spot and we drill and we hope to strike oil. And if the well's dry, you pull up and you go somewhere else and you drill again. That's literally how we have to find talent. So number one is, how do you attract that talent, the best and the brightest people? Well, that branding that we talked about before is a major component of the attract. You have to be able to look and feel attractive. You have to be, you know, something that interest people at first glance, and then as they do a little bit more due diligence, have their appetite for wanting to pursue you grow a little bit more. So we spend a lot of time on how to attract people. And we spend a great deal of time on our hiring processes. So much so that our hiring process is more than just, you know, understanding who they are as a person, you know, applying tests like Myers-Briggs or Best Work Data to understand who they are and relating it back to the others. We can line that up pretty well. We actually go through a process of having them audition for the role they're going to play. Right? We want them to explain to us what they would do in a very specific circumstance that goes right to what their job would be doing. You know, if you were going to try to be the lead actor in a major Broadway play, you wouldn't just send them your resume and answer a few questions about, you know, what, you know, your background and your experience. You'd actually have to get on stage and sing a song. You'd actually have to get on stage and do a dance step, right? So we ask people to do a little bit of that. Let me give you a simple form of an example. When we look to hire tax administrators, we ask them to show us, process a tax return, show us how you would do it from A to Z. So this idea of auditioning helps us to make better hires. So the whole key is, if we make a great hire, now there's a better chance that we're going to be able to do the things that we can do with them to develop them and ultimately retain them. That's the third and fourth piece. So attract, hire, develop, and retain. And our development systems have grown and matured. We have a learning and development manager who focuses then on all of the technical skills that each person has to hone in on, as well as the soft skills that they need to develop. Things like, how do they develop public speaking skills, executive presence, things like that. And then ultimately, the retention. What do we do to make sure our people are happy, they're satisfied, the offerings that we're giving them, their compensation, their benefits, the opportunities for advancement are there. And we do a lot of things that we haven't done before to make sure that happens. So when you look at talent, there's very little out there. So you got to find the best. And when you find it, you got to do everything you can to take care of it, develop it. And ultimately, if you do that, it actually, going back to my point before, it enhances the brand. When you enhance the brand, you can actually attract more and more and more people to what you're offering.
So let's talk a little bit about challenges specifically for this year. I mean, obviously, we're still in a pandemic. You know, where we are, third inning, sixth inning, who knows? But talk a little bit about the specific issues that you're dealing with for 2021.
John, I think more than anything else, the challenge is mindset. I think people are, the word I would use is tired. And that's not limited to Smith & Howard Wealth Management, you know, group. I think when I talk to clients, I talk to friends, other business leaders, this is tiring. You know, the whole process of trying to manage day-to-day business goals, long-term, short, mid-term, long-term goals, and then just the whole impact on their personal lives as well, with not being able to be in contact, you know, Zoom meeting, Teams meeting after meeting after meeting. There's just a different kind of fatigue, and it impacts your mindset. So one of the things we wanted to do coming into 2021 is talk specifically about having your mindset right, you know, coming in and not letting things that aren't really the focus of what we're trying to do distract you. Now, that's easier said than done, so there has to be a lot of communication, a lot of revisiting on this. We have a formal mentor-mentee system here, and that's a big part of what mentors are doing. Spending a lot more time asking people how they're doing versus asking what they're doing or advancements on the goals that they've set. Because I think the number one challenge we're facing is mindset. Look, if your mindset is right, everything's going to be fine. Because we've overcome the issues of, can you do an audit remotely? Can you truly train somebody or orient somebody in a Zoom or Teams environment? We've addressed those challenges, and frankly, we've mastered them. The issue becomes, you know, how's your mindset, and are you really doing okay? And revisiting that is probably the number one challenge. I think we're doing a good job, but it's not something you can do, check a box, and say it's done. It requires revisiting over and over.
And that's particularly true in a when your workforce is suddenly distributed, right? I mean, all your employees are suddenly distributed, and you don't have that face-to-face casual conversation in the hallway environment. You know, we've heard a lot of advice around that about communicating more. Any particular thoughts that you have on how you're trying to achieve those connections virtually?
Yeah, honestly, you can't communicate enough. And we tell people, you know, if you're going to connect with someone, go ahead and do it through Teams, do it through Zoom, turn the video on. Don't have your video off, have your video on, you know, this, you know, with your name or initials across the screen and your voice coming through, that's not connected enough. Have the video screen on, you know, really, really tie in with one another and be connected. So, I think that's a big, you know, focus or a big component is, you know, ensuring that you're doing little things like that really make the connection more robust. If you can create, you know, a safe way to meet, and there, our employees can work here in the office. I'm in the office today. Our employees can work in the office today. We have certain protocols they have to follow to ensure their safety, but they can meet in person. And so we're encouraging people that if they can meet in person, they're comfortable with it. Go ahead and do a little of that. Mix in a little bit of that interaction. Because look, you know, humans are, we operate with a herd mentality. You know, we're not meant to isolate and be alone. And the more isolated, the more alone we are, the more it drives us away from really what we're meant to do, which is to be amongst the herd, to commune with one another, and to have that happen. So we're going to continue to do things like something we call Engage, where we get together once a month in a Zoom environment. It's a firm meeting forum. And we talk about things like great things that have happened in the lives of our employees over the last 30 days, things coming up for the firm in the next 30 days, go into breakout rooms and have other people lead fun, you know, games and lighthearted things to keep that culture there. But you said it. We're not having those encounters when you pass somebody in the hallway and they say, oh, Rick, can we talk for 10 minutes about this thing? I really wanted to talk to you about that. And there's so much magic that's born out of that, that it's hard to replicate it. So to the extent you can have more of these, hey, I just thought I'd call up and check on you and see how you're doing. Maybe we can recreate a few of those. But the hope is, like Teej said, maybe we're in the sixth inning or seventh inning of this. And maybe by the time the summer's here, we're able to create an environment where people can get back. One other point on that, John, is this. There are some positives from this and some abilities to enhance the work experience, both for our people and for our clients. And we operated under this mindset that we had to be physically in person all the time to be able to serve someone or to be able to develop them. And that's not the case. So we've got employees who for years thought that they had to, you know, have a condo that was 1 minute away from the office to be able to work for Smith and Howard. And now they're thinking, you know, maybe I could buy a home in Alpharetta and work for Smith and Howard and not have to worry about bad commutes and things like that. So we hired someone full time the other day that lives in Tampa. He's never set foot in Atlanta. He's going to work full time from Tampa for us. He's a senior level person. We can do those kinds of things because we've gotten rid of this limiting factor that said we can't do those things. So we're going to try to grab onto the positives and alleviate the potential negative from this as we continue to enhance people's experience and maintain that culture we've worked so hard for years to develop.
Grab the positive, folks. That sounds like great advice for any business owner. Sean, this has been great. We're really delighted that you were able to join us. For those that would like more information, would like to be in touch, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you want more information about Smith and Howard, you can certainly go to our website, www.smith-howard.com. You can also reach out to any of us directly. You can contact me directly. My email is staylor@smith-howard.com. And we can talk to you about any aspects of issues that you're dealing with, goals that you're trying to set. Good problem solver. So if there's something you're dealing with from the past that needs be improved or solved, we can help with that. And if there's something you're considering for the future, we're happy to help with that. If you're looking for a great place to potentially start your career or advance your career, we can also talk about that. Certainly, I feel this way, as do all of us. Anyone we meet is a potential future prospect, employee, or referral source for Smith & Howard. So if anybody reaches out to us, you can be guaranteed that we will certainly talk to you at great lengths because we know that you can be connected with us for a long period of time.
Terrific. Sean Taylor, managing partner with Smith & Howard. Thanks so much for being with us.
John, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got administrative tasks in your business that are weighing you down and you need to spend more time, well, you need to get those off your plate. Let's just put it out there, right? I mean, you're really not advancing your business by doing administrative work or bookkeeping or some of the things that a lot of business owners spend time on that don't really advance the strategic objective of where you're going with your business. I've got an idea for you that involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Now, she's been around for 20 years and been doing virtual work with individuals she calls angels because they fly in, get the job done, and fly out, and they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Give Essie a call at 770-442-9246 and explain what your problem is, and she'll send an angel in to clean up whatever you need done and do that in a really efficient way. And I know this personally because Essie and her angels do work for me, and they're terrific. I couldn't do what I do without Essie and her team. So give her a call, 770-442-9246, or if you're timid, go to officeangels.us and check her out first. But I would just encourage you to give her a call. Folks, we're up to show 325, I think, something like that on North Fulton Business Radio. And here's what we would really appreciate is if you would go find the show on your favorite podcast app, and we're on all of them, but find the show by searching North Fulton Business Radio and give us a great review. And it's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about our guest, and it helps people find the show so that they can find out about the great work of folks like Sean and his team at Smith and Howard or some of the other guests that we've had over the years. We'd really appreciate it if you do that, because that's what this show's all about. is promoting the good work of business leaders in our community. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Sean Taylor, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.